to Romans chapter 8 as Paul gives us a further listing of the gifts of the Spirit. As believers, we have one inlet of power, and that is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And He is power in the life of the believer. But this power has several outlets. And one of the outlets of power is in giving. Now, again, Jesus left for us an example that we should follow in His steps. And we know how fully and completely Jesus gave Himself for us, setting for us a standard, setting for us the model. He is the standard and model for forgiveness. We are to forgive even as He has forgiven us. He is the standard and model for love. We're to love even as He has loved us. And He is our standard and model for giving. And Christ gave Himself as a ransom for our sins. And so one of the gifts of the Spirit, and there is definitely a gift of giving. So Paul tells us that he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, there are those who, when they give, they make their giving so complicated. Many times there are so many strings attached to it. Years ago, a family gave to our church in Tucson a rocking chair, which we really didn't want. It was sort of worn out, but they gave it to the church. And my immediate thought was, we've got to get rid of this thing, because the only place we had to put it was in our living room, and it just didn't go with anything. But then we found out that they didn't want us to get rid of it. It had belonged to Aunt somebody, and she had given it to them, and they didn't want it or need it, but they didn't want to get rid of it because it had sentimental value to it, so give it to the church. But it wasn't with simplicity, because there was this "you can't get rid of it" attached to it. Oftentimes, when a person explains all of the conditions that go along with the gift, there are many times I say, "Well, you know, maybe you just ought to keep it." You know, there are so many conditions. Now, Paul said if we have this gift of giving, we should exercise it with simplicity. We shouldn't, you know, make a lot of rules or a lot of things to go along with a gift, but just give it. And then if they decide we don't want it, we want to give it to somebody else, fine. Even if they decide we don't want it, we'll junk it. At least they saved you junking it. But just give. No strings attached, with simplicity. There are some people who are very ostentatious in their giving. Jesus mentioned how that when we gave, we should not be as the Pharisees who loved to sound a trumpet before them. Now, I don't know if Jesus was just, you know, sort of using that as kind of a figure of speech, or if they actually did have bands going in front of them when they were taking their gift into the temple. But I have seen some people who give in such an ostentatious way that they draw everybody's attention to their gift, what they have given. The gift of giving is certainly a beautiful and a wonderful gift. You know, we know of people, and they use the phrase, he would give you the shirt off of his back. And we know people like that, that are just so giving. There are some people that you just can't really express admiration for something they have, because if you do, you'll find it, you know, in a box and sent to you. I mean, they just have the gift of giving. We had a fellow around here. The Lord has taken him home, but he lived down in Laguna Beach, and he had the gift of giving. And one night as he was walking home in Laguna, a fellow came alongside and stuck a gun in his ribs. He said, give me everything you've got. And he apologized. He said, I'm sorry, I only have $5. Will you take a check? Now that's the gift of giving. Those persons who have the gift of giving always have many friends. In Proverbs 19:6, it said, every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. We love generous people, but God loves generous people. Think how generous God is with us. And God has been to us. The word give and its cognate forms is used in the Bible 1,981 times. So it would make you sort of think that God, you know, has a lot to say about giving. But the interesting thing, as you go through and look at all of these references, by far the vast majority are references as to what God has given us. Probably on a ratio of about 5 to 1. Most of the references on giving in the Bible are referring to what God has given unto us. It's not always those who have a lot who have the gift of giving. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. There was a man, and he became very wealthy. His name was R.G. Letourneau. And he, back in the 50s, made, 40s and 50s, he made heavy equipment, earth-moving equipment. And he designed and invented a lot of heavy-duty earth-moving equipment. Very sharp and innovative fellow. When he started his business, he made a covenant to give God 10% of everything they made. That is all their profits. As time went on and he began to be blessed more and more, he made a new covenant with God to give him 20%. You know, sometimes as a person increases, they sort of decrease the percentage. You see, giving a dime out of a dollar isn't very much. After all, it's only a dime. But if you've made $100,000, then $10,000 seems like a big amount. And if you make $1,000,000, $100,000? You see, and the more you make, the more you're prone to sort of say, well, maybe 5%, you know, because after all, isn't that interesting? Hardly anybody has a problem giving a dime out of a dollar. It's only when it grows. But he did it the other way. As the business increased, he gave 20%. And as the business continued to increase, he then raised it to 30, then 40, then 50, then 60. And when he went home to be with the Lord, he was giving 90% unto the Lord and to the Lord's work all over the world. 90%. Of course, God had so blessed him, his 10% that he kept was more than you make anyhow. But but God just won't be outgiven. My wife Kay is an extremely generous person. She has the gift of giving. She's always slipping money to people. And she's been doing that even when we didn't have it. I used to get upset with her. But the interesting thing is that there are times when God lays upon my heart to give sort of extra, and she has never once objected to something that I wanted to give to the Lord or to someone else. In fact, she usually says, well, do you think that's enough? You know, they're really needing, you know, and she has that gift of giving. Now, the Bible tells us several things concerning our giving as far as how we are to give. First of all, we're to give willingly from our hearts. When the children of Israel were going to make the tabernacle, God had given to Moses the design of the various instruments that were to be used, made of silver, the gold that was to cover the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubims, and it was going to take a lot of silver, a lot of gold, a lot of special types of cloth. And so they said to the people, the Lord spoke unto Moses, Exodus 25:1, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. Now, God didn't want anybody to give who weren't giving willingly or weren't giving from their heart. God never wants a person to feel pressured in giving to him. Whatever you give to God, you should always just give willingly and from your heart, and you should only give that which you can give willingly from your heart. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that the people had a heart to give. And as a result, as the people began to bring in their gold and their silver and their jewelry and all to make this tabernacle, and one thing that I think is really special, for the brass altar, the brazen altar, the women gave their mirrors, which were made of highly polished brass. And that's, Imagine women giving up their mirrors for the Lord. I mean, now that's really a sacrifice. But they spoke to Moses, finally. Those that were counting and weighing and all the gifts. And they spoke to Moses and they said, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." So Moses had to give a commandment and cause it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And so they had to restrain the people from bringing any more. It said, "For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and actually too much." Now that's the spirit of giving. When God moves upon the hearts of people to give, you know, it really is an exciting thing, because when we open up our hearts to give unto the Lord, it's beautiful. Now, from a negative side concerning our giving, it should never be out of pressure or grudgingly. The scripture said, "As we have purposed in our own hearts, not out of constraint, but just as we've purposed in our own hearts." There are a lot of churches, actually, that put pressure on people to give. During the month that they seek to raise the church budget, usually the most influential people will go around and visit the membership in their homes. And these three very important people, maybe a doctor and a lawyer and a banker, usually if you develop, those are the kind of men you want on your financial committee. And they will come to your house and they will sit there and they'll say, "Now, you know, this is the church's budget for the coming year, and these are the things that we want to do for the Lord. Now, how much can we count on you to pledge this year towards the church's budget?" And as you make your pledge, we encourage you to use faith. Make a faith pledge unto God. And they encourage you to oftentimes give more than what you can actually afford to give. But, you know, make this faith pledge. And then as the year goes on, and some of the people's faith isn't what it should have been, and they don't have the funds to give, the church then begins to send out duns and saying, "You know, it's been 3 months and we haven't received your pledge for the last 3 months, and, you know, we're depending on you." And they really then begin to feel tremendous pressure to give. But then as they give, it's usually with a feeling of resentment and animosity. And that's really a shame, because now if you're giving to God out of animosity, if you're giving to God out of just a sense of pressure, but you think, "Oh, can't stand it, you know, they're sending me these letters, that's horrible, you know, and better get it in, you know, won't send me any more, I don't want them calling on me, you know." And, that's tragic, because when you give out of that kind of motive, God won't bless it. God doesn't want it. And you lose the blessing of it. The blessing comes from cheerful giving. It comes from just when I give willingly from my heart and then I'm blessed. I give out of just, Lord, I love you and I want to do something special. And I get crazier all in my giving to the Lord, you know, just because I am feeling like, oh, Lord, you've done so much. I just want to do something special and make a sacrifice and just loving it as I do it. Then God blesses that. God honors that. And surely Jesus indicated that it isn't the amount that is given. As he was watching with his disciples, the people putting their money in the treasury, in the offering, and how the wealthy were coming with all their pomp and circumstance and glory and putting in their large gifts, and one little widow comes up and drops in a quarter of a cent. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, did you see that? She gave more than all the rest. Because they just gave from their surplus. This gal gave her very livelihood. That's all she's got. And in the Lord's eyes, it isn't the amount that is given. It's the heart that's behind the giving. And what it has cost to give. It's interesting. It seems like the Lord loves sacrificial giving, which is something that I think is quite rare. But if a person has the gift of giving, you really don't think of it as a sacrifice. You think, oh, praise the Lord. Glad I can give. As you have purposed in your own heart, the Bible says, so let him give. That's something between you and God. And as you have purposed in your heart, it says, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word is a little more intense and would be better be translated hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. And then we are to give freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. The psalmist said, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. And finally, our giving must be motivated by love. Whether we're giving to God or giving to someone in need, it must be motivated by love. Because Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. If I go out and sell everything I have and give all the money to the poor, if I'm doing it out of resentment and if I'm not doing it out of love, if there's some other motive, maybe to be seen of men, to be recognized or whatever, it doesn't profit me anything. Now, we are to give first of all to God. But you might reasonably ask, what in the world could I ever give to God? And surely there's nothing you can give to God that he actually needs. I like that scripture where God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't come to you for a handout. He said, for the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, you know. In other words, God is saying, I'm not broke and I'm not destitute. And if I were, I wouldn't come to you. What do we give to God? 6 times the Bible tells us to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, if the Bible tells us to do something once, I so believe the word of God And I think that we ought to do it if the Bible just tells us once. If it tells us twice, then we should really pay attention. But if God tells us six times, then we really need to pay real attention. Give thanks unto the Lord. Have you given thanks to God today? Have you given thanks to God this week? Oh, that there would go forth from our lips continually thanksgiving unto God for his goodness. Three times we are told to give to him the glory that is due his name. Now, the name of God is Yahweh. And we are told that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And the Bible tells us that God honors his word above his name, but his name is so held in esteem that the Jews won't even attempt to pronounce it. Now give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. His name means the becoming one, and it is God becoming to you whatever your need might be. How gracious God is. Whatever your need might be tonight, God becomes to you exactly what that need is. And so the name of the Lord, give glory to his name. And then we're to give to the poor. God gave commandment in the law concerning the poor, there in Deuteronomy chapter 15, beginning with verse 7. He said, if there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren within the gates of your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now that doesn't mean desires, but that which he is lacking or needing. Beware that there is not a thought in your wicked heart. How could you say that, Lord? Saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And your eye is evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cries to the Lord against you, and it is sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when thou givest to him. Shouldn't be upset, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and all that you put your hand to do. God promises to bless you if you will do this. But then he said, for the poor will never cease out of the land. In other words, you'll always have an opportunity to exercise your gift of giving. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to thy needy in the land. Mike, down at his church, feeds the poor people. How many people you feeding, Mike, down there?
500 every.
Yeah, they invite the people to come in, and they have sort of a cafeteria, and they just feed them. That's glorious. It's glorious. Now, the result of giving. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Paul said, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Sowing and reaping. If you go out to plant a field of corn, and you want to be very frugal in the planting of the seed, and so you decide to just put each seed in about 2 feet apart instead of 6 inches, just, you know, then you'll have a sparse crop. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now, this is God's law of giving. And a lot of times we have difficulty understanding the spiritual laws, how they work. And many times, because we don't understand how that can possibly work, we say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't understand how that works. But do you understand how electricity works? Probably not. But you sure don't mind using it, though you don't understand how it works. And these spiritual laws of God, we don't understand the principle. The law of gravity, really, we know it. We know that mass attracts, but why it attracts, we don't really know. We can measure the force of the attraction. And we know that the larger the mass, the greater attraction. But why? We don't really know. But we recognize that that's a law of nature. And so we're very careful to obey it. We're not jumping off of 12-story buildings. Because we respect the law. I don't know exactly how it works. Why do I drop to the ground? Why can't I fly? Why can't I just float? I don't understand how it works, but I have enough sense to respect it. And with these spiritual laws of God, and certainly in giving, we're dealing with some spiritual laws that we can't really understand, but you're wise if you will respect them. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over. For with the same measure that you mete it out, it's going to be measured back to you. So you that are giving it out in the teaspoons, you get it back at teaspoon. Give it out with a shovel, you get it back with a shovel. Give it out with a skip loader, you get it back with a skip loader. The measure that you mete it out. Paul in Romans, the 11th chapter, asked the question, or who hath first given to him, verse 35, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? In other words, he is saying, show me a case where a man has given to God where God didn't give it back. It wasn't recompensed to him again. I've heard people say, well, we just can't afford to tithe. Well, I'll tell you what, I can't afford not to tithe. It's interesting that failing to give to God that tenth, which he claims is his, and if he claims it, then I will go along with it. I wouldn't challenge any claim of God myself. But God said, Will a man rob God? And the people responded, wherein have we robbed God? And Malachi the prophet said, you've robbed him in the tithes and offerings. And then God said, see, if I will not pour out unto you a blessing that you cannot contain, if we will give to God what is God's and what God requires, then God has promised that he would pour out blessings that we can't contain. It'll come back to us many times over again. Who is first given to him, and it wasn't recompensed to him again. So it may be that you don't have the gift of giving, and it may be that you really don't want to pray for that gift. But I would encourage you to do so. Now, again, in giving to the poor, there's one other scripture that I didn't bring up, and that's in Proverbs, and it says, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And God said, I'll pay it back. Isn't that interesting? Would you like to lend some money to God? You know, he pays great interest. And he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And God says, I'll take care of it. I'll pay it. I'll pay it back. Why don't you try? Now, I wouldn't go around looking for someone that has a sign, will work for money. I think that's a racket. But you know, we have here in the church a lot of single moms that are really having a hard time. A real hard time. They love the Lord, and they're going through some really rough times. Some of these gals, I mean, they're going without food, some of them. They're the kind I'd like to see helped. Just lending to the Lord and see what God will do. Shall we pray? Father, help us. You've blessed us so much, and we thank you for that. Lord, we have such an abundance, and we thank you for that. But help us not to close up our hearts to those that are in need. But give us a generous heart, Lord. Give us the gift of giving. And may we see that goes far beyond just the material things, Lord, but may we give our time. May we give our energies. May we give of ourselves to help and to strengthen those that are weak, to minister to those that have difficulty ministering to their own needs. Lord, just make us giving people that we might bring glory to you as a church. Lord, may we just honor you and glorify you through our just being what you would have us to be, a medium whereby, Lord, we can give unto those that are in need. And thus honor and glorify you. And Lord, when we do it, help us, Lord, to do it with a cheerful heart, willingly from our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me say, this in no wise is intended as a rebuke to anybody, and if you felt it was a rebuke, then you probably needed rebuking. But you are the most generous people I know. And I thank God for you. And I mean that sincerely. I thank God for you. And for the love and the love that has provoked and motivated the giving here at Calvary Chapel. And thus it is in no wise I'm in no wise trying to make some kind of an appeal tonight for funds. You see, this is something, as the scripture said, it's a matter of a person purposing in his own heart what he wants to do. Never from pressure, never by constraint or force, but it's something in your own heart where God speaks to you and God begins to minister to you and lays it upon your heart, begins to give you that gift of giving. If you'll respond to it, you'll find that God will give you more to give. Like Argil Eterno, it just keeps growing. And God will give you more and more and more to give as you learn the blessing of giving. And start out small if you need to, but do it. Just even a little bit. And just learn the blessing and the rewards of giving. It's a spiritual law. I can't tell you how it works. All I can tell you, it does work. I know that. It works. And so I would encourage you to just start and see what God will do, because he's promised that if you give, it will be given to you. Measured out, pressed down, running over. Shall we stand? If you're in need of prayer tonight, you can go back to the prayer room, and elders will be back there to pray for you. If you desire to spend some time in prayer, you may go over to the fellowship hall and join with those over there who will be waiting upon the Lord. May the Lord be with you, bless you, and give you a generous heart and make you a hilarious giver, that you might know the joy and the blessings of seeing God's work and God's reward to those who do give. Praise, so many things we can give to God. And don't think only in sense. I think sometimes we try and just sort of buy out our obligation. Well, I give money, you know. God wants more than that. And just consider other things that you might be able to give to God, of time, of service, of energy, or whatever, you know, of just giving to God and experiencing then the reward, the joy, the blessing of having a part and a share in God's work and in God's kingdom.